The Youth's Instructor, October 28, 1897. Have You the Wedding Garment? Part 2. The Youth's Instructor, October 28, 1897. Have You the Wedding Garment? Part 2. It is by living faith in Christ as our personal Savior that His righteousness is imputed to us. In the parable of the supper, when the king came in to examine the guests, he found a man who had not on the wedding garment. He had accepted the invitation to the marriage feast, but had cast contempt upon his host in not laying aside his own garment for the wedding robe provided for him. There are many who are represented by this man. They have accepted the invitation to the marriage supper, but have failed to comply with the conditions for entrance to the feast. They will not lay aside the garments of their own self-righteousness and put on the robe prepared for them at an infinite price. They have accepted the theory of the truth, but they do not possess and cultivate the faith that works by love and purifies the soul. They do not appropriate the truth to their individual needs and become partakers of the divine nature. They are not willing to have the earthliness removed from their character in order that the heavenly graces may be imparted. They will be speechless before the king when he comes in to examine the guests and asks them why they have not put on the righteousness of Christ. God has made every provision whereby our thoughts may become purified, elevated, refined, and ennobled. He has not only promised to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, but He has made an actual provision for the supply of the grace that will lift our thoughts toward Him and enable us to appreciate His holiness. We may realize that we are Christ's possession and that we are to manifest His character to the world. Prepared by heavenly grace, we become clothed with the righteousness of Christ in the wedding garment and are fitted to sit down at the marriage supper. We become one with Christ, partakers of the divine nature, purified, refined, elevated, and acknowledged to be the children of God, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are now in probationary time, and it is important for us to consider the fact that we are deciding our own eternal destiny. Many are called, but few chosen. Why is this? It is because so few consent to feed upon Christ as the bread which cometh down from heaven. So few are willing to look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Many do not consider that the things which are unseen are eternal, while the things which are seen are temporary and transitory. Those who would become Christ-like must keep before the mind in vivid imagery Christ, the great center of attraction. The Lord Jesus prayed that those who believe on Him should have glimpses of His glory, a knowledge of His office, and an understanding of His relation to God and to the children of men for whom He has given His life. It is through this spiritual understanding that the soul becomes one with Him, holy, pure, and undefiled. He says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. As we view Christ by the eye of faith, we see the necessity of becoming pure in thought and holy in character. Christ invites us to draw near to Him and promises that He will draw nigh to us. Looking upon Him, we behold the invisible God, who clothed His divinity with humanity in order that, through humanity, He might shed forth a subdued and softened glory, so that our eyes might be enabled to rest upon Him, and our souls not be extinguished by His undimmed splendor. We behold God through Christ, our Creator and Redeemer. It is our privilege to contemplate Jesus by faith and see Him standing between humanity and the eternal throne. He is our advocate, presenting our prayers and offerings as spiritual sacrifices to God. Jesus is the great sinless propitiation, and through His merit, God and man may hold converse together. Christ has carried His humanity into eternity. He stands before God as the representative of our race. When we are clothed with the wedding garment of His righteousness, we become one with Him, and He says of us, "They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." His saints will behold Him in His glory, with no dimming veil between. Since such is the privilege of those who are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, shall we not each seriously consider the question, "Have I on the wedding garment?"